News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Has told the US to free Nicolas Maduro hours before he is expected to appear in court today in New York. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has suggested other countries such as Greenland, Cuba, or indeed Colombia could be a target for the US, calling Colombia's president a sick man who won't be in power for long. And joining us now is Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Good morning to you, Sean. We live in strange and changing times internationally. This appears to be escalating. Is that a fair read of it?
I'm not sure escalating is the right word. I think, like many military folks who woke up at the weekend and just went, wow, the world feels like it's changed. We've gone from respecting international law, nations having their own sovereignty, to all of a sudden, you know, a president being seized in the middle of night in a military operation. And it feels like the world has changed. There's lots of words, lots of politics, lots of military stories around it. But I do think this has profound implications for global security now.
And what are those implications? Because Trump is talking about this region of influence, and he has name-checked places like Greenland. And, of course, the Danish Prime Minister has said, hands off Greenland, stop threatening us. But this idea of a region of influence, this sounds like, to some extent, American imperialism.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, if it goes back, if you read the Americans' recently published National Security Strategy, it talks about the Monroe Doctrine, and we don't have time, or I'm sure your listeners not that remotely interested in a doctrine that's 200 years old, but a former president, James Monroe of the US, back in 1823, didn't want the Europeans interfering in America or the Americas, and therefore it was a view that whilst you have to look after your own nation, other nations nearby that you might have a vested interest in, particularly your own security, you might have influence. And I think the Americans have, rather than going, we're just going to look within our borders, they're straying away from that now. Yeah. And I do think that has, as you say, whether it's Greenland, whether it's other like Cuba, and also, you know, what's China going to take for this, for Taiwan? And as a military guy, how can we decry Russia's invasion of Ukraine when America does this sort of thing? The UN Security Council meeting today will be a really interesting forum.
And what do you expect to see? I know you're mentioning Monroe there. Donald Trump has been punning on Donroe, I presume, with the Donald being the Donroe.
Yeah.
But what do you expect to see come out of the UN meeting today? The European leaders have been quite mealy-mouthed on this. Do you expect more of the same?
Yes, I mean, I don't often have a degree of sympathy with politicians, but in one side, they clearly want to keep President Trump on side. There's all sorts of trade deals and international security. But by the same token, this doesn't look remotely, I'm not a lawyer, but it doesn't look remotely like it follows international law. And therefore, we're seeing a lot of the politicians desperately trying to sit on the fence at the moment to sort of say, let's wait and see how America explains its actions, and a degree of Hobson's choice. I think the UN Security Council have no choice but to decry the actions. But of course, the UK and others will simply abstain or whatever. So nothing will actually happen. And unfortunately, Trump has a growing disdain for institutions like the United Nations and international law. I do think what's fascinating, though, we although America is the dominant military force and they will have considered the actions in Venezuela a great success, you have to look at it. You know, it's only 30 years ago, 1992, that when President Bill Clinton sent a task force into capturing a self-proclaimed President ID'd in Somalia, that a US helicopter was down, the operation went into chaos. And of course, the film Black Hawk Down followed. These things are fraught with difficulty. And although Trump, they were successful this time around, although a lot of people died on the ground by all accounts, it is not going to be easy to repeat this. You know, Venezuela is not a strong military country, but putting boots on the ground, having helicopters flying around, this is fraught with difficulty for America. I think it'll be really interesting, firstly, to see what happens with Delcy Rodriguez, the new vice president. Is she going to be simply backing Maduro, or is she going to be a lifeline for President Trump and see some sort of peaceful transition?
Yeah, there are reports that she was involved in secret meetings in Doha with the American administration prior to all of this.
Yes, the danger here is that we naively sort of believe that you take away a bad guy like Maduro and the rest of Venezuela suddenly throws up their hands and says, thank you, you've liberated us. The harsh reality is There's a full ecosystem in Venezuela of corruption, drugs, money, military, vested interests. Just because Maduro goes, it doesn't mean there's a load of people there who have a vested interest in the status quo continuing. That is not going to be easy. We haven't seen lots of the opposition rush to the streets, and they're scared. That's why.
Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you for joining us. And for more on this, we're also joined now by Luis Diaz, Venezuelan man living in Ireland for the past 16 years. First up, Luis, your reaction to what we've seen happen this weekend, the head of your country being forcibly removed.
It is absolutely a shock, you know. Venezuela is free. But there's a lot of uncertainty in the streets. People are calm. That's a good thing. And everybody has a bit of mixed feelings, you know, like we want a change, maybe not this way, but we're open to the change that this will bring to the Venezuelan community abroad.
Okay. How do Venezuelans view Maduro?
Well, there's a lot of Venezuelans abroad, nine point something million people. So we can't all be wrong. This guy and his predecessor Chavez destroyed the country. They've been in power almost 25 years. They've been in power in one of the richest nations in history, and they've done nothing with it. You know, they've literally ransacked the country. They had the means to create a perfect socialist society if they wanted, but they did nothing with it. They stole. They're charged with drug trafficking in some cases. It's heartbreaking to see, you know. We deserve better. Venezuela deserves to be one of the top nations in the world.
Well, you have enormous oil reserves. You have bigger oil reserves than Saudi Arabia, although it would not appear that those oil reserves make it to market in the same way.
Exactly. One comparison that I like to make, I've seen a documentary a while back. Venezuela and the Saudis kind of found the oil around the same time. I think it's late 30s, and you could see what they've done with the oil. I don't agree with the politics, but they've done a lot with the resources they had. So going back to the year, to the 2000s and now to 2026, if you compare Dubai to Caracas or to the whole of Venezuela right now, we're not even close. We're under a dictatorship. Systematically, these people have decapitated the ability of the opposition to conform and kind of take
and what power. Would you like to see happen now? Because obviously Maduro's deputy head is now the interim leader of Venezuela. The opposition parties that who is believed won the last election, but obviously it was rigged, aren't getting a look in at the moment. What would you like to see happen here?
You know, I think from the outside perspective of, you know, a civilian, there's a lot of speculation. From what we've seen Donald Trump saying, that he spoke with her, they met over the phone, and she spoke with Rubio for a few hours, and she was ready to allow for the peaceful transition and to reestablish a democratic kind of system in Caracas, in Venezuela. But then she goes in national TV, which is the only TV station that is transmitting right now. Everything else is blocked, so people can't get what really is happening, you know. But anyhow, she goes online and begins kind of defying the government of U.S., kind of asking for Maduro's return, which it will never happen. Hopefully, it doesn't happen. Hopefully, the courts in America don't force Trump to give him back. But, you know, so I think right now, a lot of people are in a kind of limbo kind of area, you know. What I do know for a fact is that Venezuelans won't go to the streets and become crazy, and you know, riots and all that. We need, you know, an external force now to make the country stable. No one wants to see bloodshed. We want to see a peaceful transition to a democratic state. That would be the best for everybody else.
Luis Diaz, Venezuelan man living in Ireland for the past 16 years. Thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.